Amen. I thank the Lord that my life is His. So, and your life as well. Of all the places we could be, if you weren't a believer right now, where would you be? Probably still sleeping in. Sleeping in, yeah. Or at Denny's right now. Denny's having breakfast. Yeah. So anyways, good morning. I do want to say to my nephew, it's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Joey. Yeah. Hey, how old are you now? I'm trying to think and try to remember, what was I doing when I was 45? I have no clue. I probably was doing this. I don't know. I can't think that far back. Maybe 5 minutes ago. What was I doing 5 minutes? Okay. So another day, God has given him another year of life to serve him. And I am so blessed to see him and his family here. It's just, it encourages me. But so open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 15 as we continue to systematically go through the Word of God. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to go line upon line, precept upon precept, verse upon verse, chapter on chapter, and book on book. And no matter how long it takes, we'll be doing it until the trumpet blows. And then we'll be seeing it live in heaven. So that's going to be exciting. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word, as it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's rightly dividing and separating between the flesh and the spirit. And so we want to ask that you would quicken our spirits this morning, that you would awaken us, that your spirit would fill us right now and open our hearts to your word and what the Spirit has to say to the church. You tell us in Revelation chapter 1, blessed is he who hears these words of mine and do them. And so we just don't want to be hearers, but we want to be doers of the word. And so we need your help, Lord. And I'll be the first to confess and say, I need your help, Lord. Every day. I need your help. I need your spirit to empower me in my life. And so, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. And as we prepare our hearts for communion as well. So bless the word, and we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. All right, so open up your Bibles and your phones. It's funny because mostly you got everything in your phone there. So open up the phone as well, but make sure you turn them off. All right, if you remember last week, we were looking at the Good Shepherd, the parable of the lost sheep, and I was encouraging with four things regarding the shepherd. And what the first thing we talked about was how the lost sheep was sought after in verse 4 by the shepherd, which thank you, Jesus, that he does search for those who are lost, because he searched for us. I remember back in 1978, I had nothing to do with God or the things of God or the Lord, and yet God was sending people to witness to me and Carmen, and I didn't even realize it was about relationship. I was dead. I was blind to it, but God kept sending the things of God until my eyes were discerned and opened up. And realize, okay, wow, this is real. And then also the second important thing about the Good Shepherd is that the search was urgent to him. And you see the urgency of Jesus today, trying to reach out, trying to reach this world that is dying and the world that's going to hell. We see it everywhere. You see it in scriptures and preached and taught in the church, and you see it all in social media, on television. God is getting that word in there. Sometimes it's being sneaked in there because, you know, television is getting worse, guys. It's getting worse. It's blatant. Now, there is it's blatant. And the world is no longer, what's the word when you blush? It's blushing regarding these shame and blushing over these things of evil. It's accepted. And the commercials are really, really evil. So the Good Shepherd, he sees the urgency to reach and go after the lost. I mean, he was fully concerned with that one lost sheep, and he was dedicated to commit to seeking that sheep. And so the third fact about the Good Shepherd, and this is where we're going to pick up here, and the third fact is that the shepherd, he looked until he found that sheep. And that is such a blessing. That's how I like to see my life, is that God was searching for me until I found him and he found me. He didn't give up. He wasn't complacent or took his time as if he had plenty of time. And even though there was some difficulty that it took to find that one sheep, he sought after the sheep. He kept on seeking until he found that lost sheep. And that's our Lord, because he never slacks off. He doesn't sleep or slumber. He never backed off. He never gave up. And if you remember Jesus' last words on the earth to his disciples right before he was taken up in the cloud, listen to what he said in Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 8. He said, "But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you," who's you? Okay, you, okay? "You will receive the power to testify about me with great effect, and to the people in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, about my death and resurrection." And it was not long afterwards that he rose into the sky and disappeared into the clouds, leaving them staring at him. And that's from the Living Bible translation. So Jesus is telling everyone who has received him. Who does that include? Exactly. To fulfill what? That great commission of being a witness to him. Where? In Jerusalem. He was talking to his disciples, to those who were listening, to Jerusalem. Where's our Jerusalem? Here in North Park. Jerusalem is North Park. And then he said, not only Jerusalem, but Judea. Where's Judea? Well, Judea would be San Diego County. Okay, that's going to be all of San Diego County. And then he said, also in Samaria, which would be the United States. And then to the ends of the earth. That's all the areas of the world outside of United States. So that's the Great Commission. And if you think about it, the vision statement that God gave me for the ministry, it's what? It's to tell, to teach, and to train. That's the vision statement that God gave me. To tell what? To tell people about Jesus Christ. To tell the whole truth of the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, word upon word, according to, that's to teach, but to tell people the whole message of this life, the eternal life, which is revealed by Christ, and that is found through faith in him. And that's according to Acts chapter 5, verse 20. That's where I got the vision for our church. It's when Peter and the disciples, they were locked up into prison because they were teaching the word. And then God came and he opened the prison doors and they came out. And the Spirit and Lord told them to continue to preach about this life and the eternal life that's through Jesus Christ. And that's what they did. And that's our vision here, is that we're to go and we're to tell people about Jesus Christ. And then we tell them, we're to teach them, teach people about Jesus Christ. And that's where 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, and John 17:17, where I got the word teach from for our vision statement. And we're to teach the whole truth of the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, word upon word. And that's what we do. That's what I do every day. I'm just going to go through the Bible and teach about God's Word. And then we're to train people up to be sent out for Jesus Christ. And that's why we had Dan come up here. He's the missions pastor. That's why he was talking about missions. And that's why we have the work of Emmaus Roads, where they train missionaries and they teach the church and how to provide and how to take care of their missionaries. But we're called to train people up to be sent out for Jesus Christ, to train them to be disciples and to learn about, to believe in, to obey the Word of God, to become doers of the Word of God, and to bear fruit of the Holy Spirit. equipping them to witness and to testify with authority and to lead people to Christ. And that came from Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. So this is the vision statement of this church that the Lord gave me back in 2010 when I stepped in as the lead pastor here at North Park. And the Lord showed me, hey, you know what? The old North Park Christian Fellowship, that's going to pass away. I'm gonna do a new work, a new thing. And so he gave me the name change. I was going to go with Calvary Chapel North Park. That was the plan. And then when I met with Mike said, why don't you get back to your roots? You came out of Horizon Christian Fellowship, so why don't you go with Horizon? So I felt, okay, God was speaking to me because I was asking, Lord, speak to me. Give me a sign. You know, we always say, Lord, give me a sign. And he does, even though, you know, he says, you know, no sign will be given. It depends on what it is, you know, but he did. And Mike said that, and I said, okay, you know what? That sounds good. We'll go with Horizon. And then I went out and to the desert, and I was asking the Lord to, okay, give me a vision, a new vision for the church. I want to do something new here. And so that's when he gave me the vision of tell, teach, and train. And so then the fourth fact about the good shepherd is when the shepherd found the sheep, what did he do? He embraced the sheep. He threw it over his shoulders, and he received it with open arms. He embraced it with a rejoicing heart, supporting and carrying it back to his home, according to verse 6. Look at Luke verse 6 and read it. That's what he did when he found that one shepherd. And that's just like our Jesus. Now, I'll always remember, when I think of Jesus, or when I hear about Jesus carrying his people, I can't help but think about the footprints in the sand story. Remember that? It's been such a long time. I'm going to read that to you because I know some of you might not have heard it. But most of us are familiar with the footprints of the sand story. So listen to this. It says, one night I dreamed a dream. I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark skies flashed scenes from my life. From each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me and one to my Lord. When the last scene of my life shot before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand, and there was only one set of footprints. And I realized that this was at the lowest and the saddest times of my life. This always bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about my dilemma. Lord, you told me that when I decided to follow you, you would walk and talk with me all the way. But I'm aware that during the most troublesome times of my life, there's only one set of footprints. I just don't understand why. When I need you the most, you leave me. And he whispered, my precious child, I love you, and I will never leave you, never, ever. And during your trials and testing, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Can you imagine God giving you that dream? And some of us, he has. Our life is a witness to that. That's exactly what he's doing. Don't ever think that God has abandoned you. He never has abandoned you. Always remember, if you see one set of footprints, that it's God carrying you. Man, I wish I could have received this vision of this dream and been the one who, I'm not sure who's the one that made that up, but that's God. That's God speaking to somebody, to sharing and giving this vision. Now, I want to play a song. Do we have that? And this song I was going to play last week because we had a lot going on. It's a beautiful song that somebody shared with me. It's sung by Leona Lewis, and it's called Footprints in the Sand. So it's only 3 minutes. But I guarantee you're going to be blessed, and it brought tears to my eyes, and it'll probably bring tears to your eyes. But listen to this song. Go ahead and play it, Dan.
You walked with me, footprints in the sand, and helped me understand where I'm going.
Wasn't that a beautiful song? Wow. I mean, it just shows me that our God is alive when he puts things of God in people's lives. God is speaking. God is moving. And obviously, she has a heart for children in other third world countries. So it's amazing. Yeah. It's just like Sarah. Sarah's going to be going to India, where she's going to be in the midst of children like that, in the footprints in the sand. God's going to carry her through. That's God. That is God's purpose in our life, to reach out to the lost and reach out to those who need him. Now look at verse 5. Look at verse 5 in Luke 15. Jesus says, and when he has found that lost sheep, he says, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Barbecue time, you know. Come over, he's going to, you know, poor cow. You know, the sheep he's going to spare, but some cow's going to have to give up his life for that sheep to feed his friends, to have a party. No, but I thought about, I found the sheep. Come on, let's have a barbecue, you know. Once that sheep was found, that lost sheep, it brought this great joy to the shepherd. Notice what the shepherd did. First in verse 6. What did he do? He called his neighbors together. Look what it says in verse 6. He rejoiced with me. He got called together his friends and his neighbors. He wanted everyone to know that lost sheep has been found, because I'm pretty sure that everyone has been so concerned, and they were praying and hoping and waiting, and they wanted to join in the rejoicing. And the Pharisees, they should have felt that way, but they didn't. Instead of complaining about Jesus eating with sinners and hanging out with them, they should have rejoiced that one lost sinner was found, and that many others were flocking to Jesus. They were coming to him. I mean, here at Horizon North Park, we haven't seen many people get saved here at one service at one time. But, I mean, we have seen more than one get saved. And when they do, we rejoice in that, right? Even if it's one person at a time, we rejoice when somebody gives their life to the Lord. When somebody repents, we rejoice in that. Why? Because the field is God's. And that field is ready for the harvest. And God said that the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. And so many of the big mega churches, they're leading many to the Lord. And we should rejoice in that. We should never say, why can't my church do that? Or why don't we do that? Or what's wrong with us? Rejoice in the fact that the lost are being saved, regardless of where they're at. Don't forget that the field is the Lord's. And the mega churches, they're like the lawnmower, and they're cutting that open field with the grass. And I like to look at our church as that weed eater, right? We're the weed eater. We're the part where the lawnmower can't reach the corner or the edge. So we are the ones that will tilt the field there in the corners and on the edge. But the field is God's. And then secondly, everyone rejoiced. Why? Because the shepherd's labor was not in vain. That one sheep brought joy not only to the shepherd, which is Christ, but to his friends, to the whole heavenly host, and most importantly, God himself. Think about it. When you gave your life to the Lord, how God and the whole heavenly host rejoiced. When you repent, they rejoice. When you have victory in your life, there's rejoicing. What we do, it stirs up up heaven and God and the things and the heavenly host. They're involved in that. And this is what God wants to see. So that joy brought this, that sheep brought this joy. Now, remember when David Carrillo came here, the gentleman that I used to work with at General Dynamics for 6 years back in the early 90s and late 80s, I gave him a Bible. He wasn't a Christian. He was a party animal and a big, weed smoker, and I gave him a Bible for his birthday there in our work area, and everybody was giving him things. He looked at the Bible, and he just kind of threw it down on his desk and left it there. 6 years later, when I quit, 6 years later, he called me and said he got saved. I rejoiced so much, I cried. I was shocked. I didn't see fruit until 6 years later, but God had a plan. And so it brought joy to my heart, and it brought joy to his heart, because he said, you're the first person I had to find and I had to tell. First, it was Aurora, our sister Aurora. We miss her. But she's up in heaven. She loved the Padres, so she's watching the games up in heaven and dancing. So, dancing into the Lord. But he called Aurora to get my number to find me. And so it was amazing. I was so excited. I felt like how God feels when one sinner is one person who's lost is found. You rejoice. And then the third thing about the shepherd, or the shepherd, he called the... Now listen to this, because this is, I want to encourage you in verse 6. Look at verse 6. And notice that he called the lost sheep my sheep. My sheep which was lost in verse 6. Verse 6. It was his. No matter how dirty, how filthy, how unclean, how deprived, how ugly or lost that sheep had been, it was still the shepherd's sheep. Which makes it that there's hope for all of us. There's hope for all of us. In fact, Isaiah 43, you know it well. Listen, in verse 1. But now the Lord who created you, O Israel, says, don't be afraid, for I have ransomed you, and I have called you by name, and you are mine. And when you go through the deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. And when you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. And when you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up by the flames, and they will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, your Savior, the Holy One of Israel. That's us. That's us. We are him, his. He created us. And he said he will take care of us. And obviously he sent Jesus, his son, to seek the lost in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. We're saved. How many of you are saved this morning? Isn't that awesome? And that trumpet is going to blow. It's going to blow, and when it does, we're going to be out of here. And you know, we're excited that when people get saved, but back then, many of the Pharisees at that time, they really believed that God would receive and save sinners and save non-Jews if they came to him in the right way, but it was their way, not God's way. But Jesus is showing us in these parables of the shepherd and the sheep and the other two parables that we're going to look at, that God is actively seeking the lost. He's actively. What does that tell you? You see, we got to be actively involved in seeking the lost. And he does it with love, and he does it with joy. He does not grudgingly receive the lost. He searches after them, and God finds the sinner more than the sinner finds God. Don't sit back and wait for, you know, maybe a week or a month and then you talk to somebody. Don't wait for them to come to you. Be like God. He actively seeks after them. Go out there and seek after him. Everywhere you go, mention God. Guys, it really makes a difference. Even if you just say, hey, God bless you. Or I was in Home Depot Saturday, I went there and I came up to the this woman at the cash register, and she said, how you doing today, sir? I said, I'm blessed. And I told her, you want to know why I'm blessed? She says, why? It's because I have Jesus. And she goes, oh, you have Jesus? I said, yeah, I have Jesus and I'm saved. And she kind of just was hush-hush then. But it doesn't matter, because I felt so good just to tell her that I have Jesus. You got to be actively involved in seeking and going after the lost. Again, people who aren't here, you know who they are. Reach out to them, encourage them, because that's what we're called to do. Remember 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it tells us we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. He first loved you. And he loved you and when you were a sinner, not when you got your life right or you got yourself your act together. He said, when we were yet still sinners, God died for us. Jesus died for us. When you were the worst of the worst. I want to share a story with you. Then we're going to prepare our hearts for communion. And I'm going to be honest with you. I forgot that we were having communion this morning. See, again, there we go, forgetting things. I forgot, and I came in, I said, oh man, we got communion. I got to change everything around now. But I want to share this story with you. Listen, there's this story that is told of this young girl whose mother was very beautiful, all except her hands, which were shriveled and scarred and hideous. Although the child was long reluctant to speak out about them, the time came when she asked her mother how her hands became so marred. The mother told her how their house caught on fire when the girl was very little. And the mother, she rushed upstairs to the room where the girl was sleeping in her crib. And with the help of the Lord, she was able to carry the baby downstairs and outside without being harmed. But in doing so, the mother's hands were terribly burned. This brought sobs to the child as she said, "Oh, mother, you know, I'll always love you, especially your face, your smile, your eyes. But better than all, now I love your hands. The one who left heaven's glory and became flesh for us bears in his compassionate hands the scars of his sacrifice on our behalf. His hands will be an eternal reminder of his love for you." His hands. And when you get to heaven, he's going to hold them out. Here they are. And we're going to see him. And I'm telling you, the first thing I'm going to do when I see Jesus is I'm going to grab onto his leg like my grandkids sometimes, and I ain't going to let go. And he's going to be dragging me all across heaven. When he comes over to your mansion and he's going to be knocking on the door, and he's like, "Come on in, Jesus." He's going to go, "Okay." I ain't going to let go. I don't care. You're going to have to pry me loose. But I read that story and I couldn't help but think of Thomas and Jesus when Thomas said, "Hey, I won't believe until I put my fingers in his hand or my hand in his side." And that's what he needed. Jesus knew he needed that. And he didn't hold him, what's the word? Right. Because he wanted to touch Jesus. And Jesus loved him so much that when he came to Thomas, he said, "Thomas, put your finger in the hole in my hand. Put your hand in my side. And blessed are those who believe and not seen." Guys, we haven't seen Jesus like that, like they did. We're more blessed. We're more blessed. And so as we prepare our hearts for communion, think about that good shepherd in the lost. I had to redo my service here because I forgot about communion. But this is okay. I'll pick up next week, and we're going to get through chapter 15. But chapter 15 is such a beautiful psalm because it deals with the loss. And so go ahead. I have the worship team come up. And right now, just I want you to think about that good shepherd and think about how what he has done for us to search us out, and how he was diligent. And he didn't give up. He didn't stop. He continued to search us out until we were found. Those are your your credentials, is that you were lost, but not your, now you're found. You were blind, but now you see. Amen? Let's prepare our hearts for communion. Worship the Lord.